I'm joined now by UK-based consultant and whistleblower Justin Lewis, who's been warning about this for months. He's also the founder of the UK-based lobby group CASISA, whose purpose is the prevention of the corruption of courts. Justin, thanks so much for joining us here on The Home Run. Can you briefly explain what the core allegation is against the South African government regarding Hamas and October the 7th?
Thanks, Paula, for the introduction. Yeah, the core allegation exists around the confirmation now of evidence that exists of the collaboration between the South African government, and when I say that, I mean the government prior to 2024, collaboration with Hamas prior to the October 7th attack. In other words, arrangements were made to prepare for the aftermath of the attack through applications to the ICC and the ICJ. So the attack occurred in October, and the application to the ICC was already in place in November, and then to the ICJ in December. Now, collaborations of that nature indicate an attempt to alter the purpose of the court, because what it does, it expresses a view of an extension of a political agenda that is now being submitted to a court in order to seek relief. The example that I have given in the past is if you assist your neighbor in burning down his house, then you cannot, after the disaster, rush to a court to claim relief just because your neighbor is not a signatory to the court, whereas in this case. So the collaboration alone, and this has only become recently confirmed as the evidence thereof has been confirmed, which means that now applications can begin for the withdrawal, an application to withdrawal of the ICJ genocide application on the basis of a technicality of altering the court's purpose. That exercise alone is sufficient to have other implications, which we'll discuss.
Justin, sorry to have interrupted you there, but are you allowed to tell us what evidence there is?
Oh, yes. The evidence, that I can't give you the witnesses' names, but it's extensive. It includes members of the United Nations that were a party to this, or aware of the collaboration right into The Hague. Names and identities will obviously be presented at the right time, but there are more than one body. It's not just me that's involved. My role as a consultant is to investigate and then give a recommendation. The powers that be that then take that recommendation forward, inevitably, as a result of it confirming of evidence that they already have. So, yes, the warning I gave, because I have interviewed over 2,500 now different witnesses regarding the Gaza conflict. And from that, and from a range of American, Irish, UK, and Middle East witnesses, that as a result, we have intelligence normally that is 2 weeks in advance of an action that's taking place. For example, the recent bombing of Iran nuclear sites, we knew about 2 weeks before they took place. So this gives an advantage in warning, and as I am a dual South African, UK, and honorary citizen of the United States, I'm also fiercely loyal to the future of South Africa. So where I can, I will then try and alert the South African authorities that action is required, and in this case, I have done so. Now, the application that is inevitably to follow, which is application to the ICJ to have the genocide case withdrawn, affects in principle the old South African government, not the new South African government known as the Government of National Unity or the GNU. However, the consequences will be equally devastating from this legacy that the GNU has inherited, and the implications are far-reaching, significant, and varied, as we will now discuss.
Firstly, I want to ask you, how did the evidence come to light?
Well, through witnesses. Well, my involvement was actually through an instruction from the UK Shares Fraud Office regarding corruption claim against a company called Glencore, a mining group, for which they received $1.2 billion damages claim. And I met with their counsel in Glasgow on the issue of corruption in South Africa. And from that interview, I was then instructed by the UK Serious Fraud Office to engage the South African authorities on those issues. And a result of that engagement, witnesses came forth, the first of them that I met, confirming that evidence existed that the South African government under then Durco, Naledi Pandor, specifically that division of the International Relations Department, had been working in collusion with, or collaboration is probably the better word.
Wow.
I'm not suggesting that they knew the exact date of the attack, but they knew that an attack was coming and were making the necessary preparations. Such were the allegations made, and we now believe that there's sufficient evidence to confirm that, which they will be doing to the ICJ.
As you said, you warned back in April that this could lead to serious legal and financial consequences. Why do you think those warnings were ignored?
Well, the world has changed since the attack. One must remember that when the attack took place in October 2023, Israel was under a huge amount of pressure from Hamas in Gaza, from Hezbollah in Lebanon, from Syria as a conduit for weapons against it, and of course Iran. Since then, in 18 swift months, Hezbollah and has been greatly weakened. Syria has fallen. Hamas is holding on in Gaza, but not very strongly for the immediate future. And of course, Iran now is officially degraded through its military ability. So at that time, I would imagine there was a certain amount of confidence in the alliances that and a hugely significant marketing exercise across the world of supporting Palestine under the guise of these attacks against Israel.
Justin, you are preparing on instruction a $400 million lawsuit against President Ramaphosa. Can you explain what it is? Because my understanding is that it's been brought by families of American hostages. Can you unpack that for us a little?
Let me make this clear. I received instructions, as I did from the U.S., from the UK's Serious Fraud Office, to engage governments or parties. And again, here, the lobby groups that I represent often are very varied, whether American interests or Irish interests, I'm not under instruction as in a court of law. I'm under instruction as to investigate. And so what I do, let me give you an example. In the UK, they have a scandal recently called the Post Office scandal, where postmasters and postmistresses were now confirmed unlawfully charged for corruption through a court of law, and it found out that later came clear that the application on information they used to hold these postmasters and postmistresses guilty of defrauding the post office was based on faulty technology, and the fact that the technology used, the Horizon example, was withheld from the court, resulted in these judgments. Now, judgments based on facts that have been withheld from the court is a criminal offence. Now, in the UK in 2021, the Anti-Terrorism and Sentencing Bill was passed, the new bill, and that described an act of terrorism as the altering of the purpose of an institution of His Majesty's government. Now, submitting false evidence, intentionally withholding from the court evidence in order to create unlawful judgments, is therefore, and as per my recommendation to the inquiry, which was accepted, an act of terrorism, because you're altering the purpose of the court. The court's purpose is not to sentence innocent people. Now, that was significant, and it allowed the Metropolitan Police in the UK to expand their investigation to include acts of terrorism, which enabled an additional £8 million to be added to their budget and another 85 officers. So those are that is the kind of work I do. I make recommendations upon receiving instruction to investigate. And in this case, much the same. So when I was asked, as a result of my investigation into witnesses confirming the alleged collaboration, that I was then requested, made certain recommendations to the new South African government, the government of national unity, warning them to separate themselves from the history of the past, firstly. Secondly, even an indication to the powers that be, particularly with the arrival of Trump in the White House, that that the Americans are extremely angry, and what they view the ICJ application and the ICC application. In fact, they brought sanctions against the ICC as part of some collaboration. Our evidence now confirms that the Americans were completely correct. But the consequences of that are yet to play out. So, and that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing a weakening of the alliance against Israel, and we're seeing a strengthening of the US alliance, and they are now taking action. And my warning to the South African government, a warning I made in April, because of the upcoming meeting with Trump, was ignored, and we all know what happened when the lights were dimmed at the White House. So the warning needs to be heeded to. It is very, very serious, very significant, which we'll discuss now, the implications of the ignoring of those warnings. Now, and my recommendations, first of all, was that there will be some kind of sign, some kind of confirmation from the new South African government that they were working with the U.S. government as an ally, not as a hostile
entity,
country. Absolutely, and that's why I made the recommendations. I made the recommendation in January, in March, in April, to President Ramaphosa is. Fated as a negotiator. He offered his services in the Ukrainian conflict, and he offered his services as recently as now in the Iran 12-day war, which is now not only a week old. But you cannot do that if you're not an honest broker.
100%.
And the way to be seen as an honest broker. And I'm a huge fan of Ramaphosa. I thought that the way that he dealt, despite my warnings being ignored, with the Trump challenge he had at the White House, he did with statesmanlike conduct, and hats off to him. However, the issue of being an enemy of the United States or being viewed as such has not been changed.
Justin, we had a lawyer on earlier in the show, Nitsana Darshan Leitner, and she was talking about the U.S. Supreme Court having just handed down a landmark decision that American victims of terror attacks can once again sue the Palestinian Authority in American courts. Does that in any way impact what you're talking about?
Oh, yes, hugely. We were waiting for that. We waited. The judgment was expected on the 20th of June. Ironically, a day before the first bombs were dropped in Iran. The dropping of the bombs in Iran is the exact same effect legally, because it confirmed the constitutionality of the promotion of promoting security and justice for victims of terrorists, which the act was passed in 2019 in the US. And particularly, it was now a direct challenge to those who carry out, support, or enable acts of international terror can and will be held accountable now and in the future. And most importantly, it gives a voice to a fair hearing, is probably a better word, in a courtroom, and a voice to victims of terrorism now that is no longer subject to the limitations of jurisdiction. In other words, the U.S. government can now pursue perpetrators of terrorism and or those who aid and abet them, which applies in this case, which resulted in my meeting with one of the senior members of the US government on Tuesday, because they wanted to chat to me from the South African perspective as to the path forward, because they're the ones that are particularly keen on bringing the application. My duties or instructions, such as they are, was to engage the South African government, if possible, on that issue. I reminded them that I offered to engage the South African government before regarding the ICJ application, which was ignored. Ramaphosa, I don't remember the Pala-Pala corruption scandal. He appointed the senior counsel to declare that up for him, and I made the same recommendation. In fact, I approached his counsel for his own best interest, because from our meeting on Tuesday, the message is quite clear: they're coming for him, and they're doing so because they've had enough with those seeking benefits of American engagement whilst dodging the consequences of murdering Americans. And the anger is real, and the anger is happening.
Justin, there's so much to talk about, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of questions. So I'd like to lock you in now and ask you if we can carry on the conversation perhaps Monday or Tuesday next week. But just before I let you go, because we have to go to sport, yep. I just want to mention two things. So you are saying that South Africa, or there now can be an application for South Africa to withdraw its ICJ application. Am I correct?
It's happening as we speak.
And you also said that, I don't know if you mentioned you, but you knew about the Iran bombing sites 2 weeks in advance, or someone knew about it, or what were you saying?
Yes, we have highly effective intelligence networks linked to parties that are interested in the work that we do. You must remember that there are already four cases for damages in U.S. courts against perpetrators of this terrorism, Mohammed Khalil. There's 100 families versus UNRWA, which is a billion claim. There's the claim against the Palestine Chronicle with Abdallah Al-Tamal. And there's a claim against billionaire Bashar Masri. This is not something new. It's happening already. Whether South African President Ramaphosa is going to be added to that list is entirely up to him. My recommendation was, remains, engage.